Amen. I didn't mean we were going to finish all six chapters this week. I had no idea what Ben was going to teach on, so I just left it in his hands. So, hope you enjoyed that teaching. He did show up, didn't he? Only sat in there for 45 minutes and left.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I knew it would be.
Yes, it was.
And I don't know if anybody got accosted out there in the hallway and said, women in here, men over here, but there is two new courses starting up, and Jeff's teaching this closer one for guys, biblical manhood, if anyone would be interested in breaking off to that. Isaiah chapter 60. We're to a point now where several of our commentators that I looked at said, you're in almost virgin territory here, because many don't teach on this part of Isaiah, this last part. And so we're not going to skip over it, of course. But we're in your mind, I guess, and in the minds of the Israelites, as God is telling them through Isaiah all the things that are going to happen, this would actually be the beginning of the millennium, where Jesus is ruling and reigning, and his light is the light that's shining in the world. So that's where we're at, and we'll look how Isaiah portrays it. If somebody would, after, would you look up Malachi 4:2, and we'll read it after I read, and we talk a little bit about verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Now, did somebody look that up or can read it?
4:2 says, but for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise. That's S-U-N. Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall.
So that's the what Isaiah is portraying to the Israelites at this time. And but we have to remember that hasn't even happened yet, so we're more than 2,000 years ahead of them. We're standing here waiting on the millennium, if you will, waiting on Christ's return. But he's promising Zion or Israel or Jerusalem, how you want to look at it, that this is going to happen. There is going to be a Savior come whose light is going to be the light that shines. And he will be, and the glory of the Lord will be, has risen upon you. They will then realize by then that Jesus is Lord. Now, again, we've talked about through the millennium, and we've got a lot of verses to go through before we get through the end of Revelation. But through this millennium time, there will be people that are not saved. There will be people that need saving. So many believe that this is going to actually be the biggest revival that's ever happened in the world is during this time. So we'll look. It says, for behold, darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness the peoples, but the Lord will raise you up and his glory will appear upon you. So in other words, just as it got as dark as it could possibly get. Now, we're going to do more study on this. Go ahead.
Now, this millennium time is after the rapture, church. Is that correct?
Yes.
And can you imagine that someone who was not a believer and he witnessed the rapture? accept the Lord. But the, you know, I just want to, I just think about that, you know. There'll be some, there'll probably be some that actually lived through the rapture that didn't get raptured.
Oh, yeah.
That weren't believers. Oh,
yeah.
So if you start hearing the gospel then, from what I understand, those people are going to be persecuted, probably martyred, killed, from what I'm, yeah, okay.
More than likely.
But I want to make, I get mixed up about it. After rapture.
No, you hit it right on the head. You took words right out of my mouth.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
That's great.
That's what come into me, you know.
That's why this is the, behold, the darkness will cover the earth. Whether we believe it or not, the Lord is using us, the church, to hold back. I realize we're getting overcome in some cases, but without any holdback, what would it be? And it will be what he says here. Behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness will be upon the peoples. So it's going to be bad. And nations, and of course now the darkness has happened, the Lord Jesus Christ has come back, and nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. So it's the world will recognize who Jesus is, of course, but also Israel's place in the world. They have never had we've talked about this before, they've only ever occupied about 10% of the land. And now they will have it all. Lift up your eyes round about and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons will come from afar, and your daughters will be carried in the arms. So people are going to come back. I guess one of the biggest concentrations of Jewish people right now is in Russia. And they will be released. Now, if you want to look up something that J. Vernon McGee said, he says he believes when Russia releases them, they will come back to Israel with back pay, is what he calls it. Everything they're owed. And the same way that when they left Egypt, they carried out treasures, you know, they were given treasures. Take this and get out of here. We're tired of the plagues. But that's all this is, you know, and even, like I said, someone too small or maybe too weak, they would be carried there. They will get there. Then you will see the radiant, and your heart will thrill and rejoice because the abundance of the sea will be turned to you. The wealth of the nations will come to you. A multitude of camels will cover you. Young camels, Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba will come. They will bring gold and frankincense, and they will bear good news of the praise of the Lord. Praises of the Lord. I didn't pick up on this. At Christmas time, we always think about the gifts that the Magi brought, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Myrrh's not mentioned here. And myrrh was far preparing the body for burial. So they won't be needed anymore. The young camels, okay. So anyway, they're going to get back to Israel any way that's possible. All the flocks of Kedar will be gathered together to you. The rams of Nebaioth will minister you, and they will go up with acceptance on my altar, and I shall glorify my glorious house. Okay, hold it right there. We're going to have sacrifice, blood sacrifice again on the altar. Did anybody catch that? They will go up with acceptance on my altar, and I shall glorify my glorious house. We think of Jesus as the ultimate sacrifice, but I guess the way to look at this, Israel will have blood sacrifice again, but it will only be there to point to the Lord Jesus Christ, the same as we're going to do in another hour. We're going to have communion that points to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so those things will be there. Until I really studied this much, I thought sacrifice was done as far as animal and blood sacrifice. Eight, who are these who fly like a cloud and like the doves of their lattices? Excuse me. Surely the coastland will wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish will come first to bring your sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them, for the name of the Lord your God and for the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you. Okay, if you like reading into words here, some writers believe that he's pointing towards airplanes. Those who fly like a cloud. If it is, it is. I mean, we know people will come back by aircraft. But we don't know, biblically speaking, if that's what he's actually saying here. But we do know they're going to come back, in ships. And they will come from afar. And as I said, they'll bring their gold and silver with them and their back pay. And foreigners will build up your walls, and their kings will minister to you. For in my wrath I struck you, and in my favor I have had compassion on you. So, like I said, it's hard to sit in Israelites' shoes right at the moment they get this from Isaiah. They have no way of knowing how far out this is. He's already told them about something that hadn't happened yet and is going to happen in 150 years, which we can see because we're on this side of history. But they can't see that. Then they're going to find out for a time they're going to be struck down because, God is wrath is going to strike them down. And in my favor, I've had compassion on you, and then bring them back up. But it's not going to be because the nation Israel is the sweetest bunch of people that God's ever seen. They're only going to be able to come back because the Lord Jesus Christ returns to earth, and they realize that he is the King of Kings, who they've been waiting on, whether they realize it at the time you're reading this or not. But he's saying, and your gates will open continually. They won't have to block out anybody from coming in. Their gates will continue to be open. They will not be closed day or night, so that men may bring to you the wealth of the nations with their kings led in procession. So Israel is going to be the supreme nation. They are going to have the Lord Jesus Christ sitting there, shining light, and the world is going to realize who he is and what he stands for. For the nation and the kingdom which will not serve you will perish, and the nations will be utterly ruined. Okay, this is where the, I don't ever like to say gray area when you're talking biblically speaking, but we don't know how that, how can I say this? I know how the battle's going to go. I know who's going to win. I've read the back of the book and all that. But what they say here, it says, for nations and the kingdom which will not serve you will perish. So this has, I'm sure, is going to happen in that dark time we just talked about. The darkness is going to cover the earth. And all the things that are going to be bad there, and the nations will be utterly ruined. God's word has said for almost ever that anybody who blesses Israel will be blessed, and anybody who hates Israel will be hated. And this is all going to come true here. If Israel was any other nation, I can't even tell you how many times they would have been taken over. They would have been wiped out, and it wouldn't be called Israel. There's no way, unless God had protection over them. There's just no way. I mean, they're the size of what, Rhode Island? And holding back the world right now. They have help from other nations, but that just would not have happened. The glory of Lebanon will come to you. The juniper, the box tree, and the cypress together to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I shall make the place of my feet glorious. So the beauty is going to come back to Israel, which we've read there before. The cedars of Lebanon, I pretty much know what a juniper is, and I don't know if a box tree is a box elder we used to have around here, if that's another tree. I really didn't do my research on that. But we'll make the place of my feet glorious. And the sons of those who afflicted you will come bowing to you, and those who despised you will bow themselves at the soles of your feet, and they will call you the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. The sons who afflicted you. So this tells me that there is going to be people saved in this millennium time. There's going to be people that make that decision. If they'd have made it earlier, their souls wouldn't have been so stressed. But he's saying this will happen. This is going to happen. See, the Holy One of Israel, whereas you've been first, okay. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated, and no one passing through, I will make you an everlasting pride, a joy from generation to generations. You also suck the milk of nations, you will suck the breast of kings, and you will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer and the Mighty One of Jacob. In other words, nations are going to bring goods, the best I can read this. Instead of bronze, I will bring gold. Instead of iron, I will bring silver. Instead of wood, bronze. Instead of stones, iron. And I will make peace. I will make peace your administrators, and righteousness your overseers. So he's saying all these things that are made from bronze are now going to be made from gold, which they originally were in the original temple. And they're going to be redeemed and made of gold again, and things were going to come back the way God, the way he planned it, but God knew this is the direction that it was going to go. And I truly believe that, knowing mankind, that there would not be as many able to accept the Lord Jesus Christ unless all these things happen. Some people, you know, have to be shown by example almost of what happened. And, you know, it's like Kenny said earlier, when the rapture comes, they're going to have a tough time explaining it. I don't care who they are. And I know Mark Lowry is a comedian and singer and all that, but he said, when the Lord raptures me, I'm taking two of them up with me just to show them that it can happen before I drop them. Violence will not be heard again in your land. Hey, we can't even not hear violence three blocks from where we live, nor devastation or destruction within your borders. Nor devastation or destruction within your borders. But you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise. In other words, the world is going to come there to Jerusalem to worship. It's going to be something to see.
You know, Tim, we have a crazy dream sometimes. I dream, you know, and there's just one nightmare I had that... we think, you know, would God really save someone like me? Yes, he would. He loves us. So what my dream was that my sister and brother were going to heaven and I was getting left. You know? And then I woke up and I realized it was a nightmare. You know? So I don't know if you've all ever had something like that, but there are funny dreams that happen. It's just a dream, you know, and it's not, you know.
I got one for you. Dream. Yeah. And this was long after I was saved. I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. But we had been studying about the rapture.
Yeah.
And folks, I'm going to tell you, if you see me, I'm driving the bus. That's the way it was in that dream. I'm the bus driver. I'm going around picking you up. I don't know where that came from either. But so if you see me driving a bus, you better get on. It's a one-way trip. Let's see, where was that? Everlasting. Yep. No longer will you have the sun for light by day, nor the brightness of the moon will the moon give you light. But you will have the Lord for an everlasting light, and your God for your glory. I can't tell you if the sun's actually going to be there, but tells me that Jesus is going to be brighter than the sun, and it's going to be unbelievable. But it's all that's been promised, and that's all that's going to happen. Your sun will set no more, neither will your moon wane, for you will have the Lord for an everlasting light, and the days of your mourning will be finished. The days of your mourning will be finished. Then all your people will be righteous. They will possess the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. The smallest one will become a clan, and the least one a mighty nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. So, well, thank you, Isaiah. But I'd like a date, please. And like I said, they cannot possibly realize what this is going to look like out there. And knowing full well that the nation they're worried about being taken over by during this time isn't even a strong nation. They're not hardly a dot on the map yet. But that's who's going to take them over in about 150 years. So how would you understand how far out this is? I can't even understand how far out this is. You know, the gospel's been preached for over 2,000 years. And we're not there yet. And the Lord says it's still coming. Well, no, I agree with that.
It's eternal.
Yes. You know, we think, you know, it should happen. How comes it happens? You know, this world is so evil. Why don't God just rapture the church right now? Well, he's got his timetable. He's going to do it, and he knows.
Well, there's little points along the way that gives us a clue. They found the five red heifers, and they sent them over to Israel to be examined, and they got to have that to purify the new temple. So
they had to literally breed those. They didn't just go through a field and find them. They were bred pure. You know, the purity had to be bred in. You know, there was many. We could go back and study, and see all the things that had to be done.
Well, they found the old heifer's ashes. American geologists,
yep.
Archaeologists found that, discovered that, and turned it over to Israel. So they got the old ashes of
the DNA or whatever. Yeah.
They're working on the news.
Yeah. Oh, no. I agree, but I don't know how many times And especially when I've been studying eschatology or whatever, you see something and you think, man, that's starting the clock right there. That's what's going to start the clock. And we just had that last week or whatever. Wrong. And, you know, the word tells us even the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't know the day or the hour. It's only God knows that. So, again, how do you fathom this if you're Israel? Think about that. What they had to look at or look forward to, or, you know, all these things they said, all the promises of wrath to come and all the promises of future to come. It would be a strange pill to try to swallow other than faith in God. That's it.
So, I don't know if any of us will still be here when that rapture happens. We may be, because we don't know the day. But there's only been like a few people of God that he actually took right into heaven that actually didn't die physically. You know, but that's actually what's probably going to happen to his believers that are here. When the rapture comes, you'll just be transformed. There was like, what was the guy in the Bible that God just took right up into heaven?
Enoch. Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. And Enoch was no more or whatever. Yeah. Okay. So as I said, we kind of put ourselves in their shoes or their sandals, however you want to look at it, and think about what they were looking out at. We are looking out at the same thing, but we have been promised, if you read the Bible the same way I do, that we will be raptured out. We won't be here for those 7 years. I've even been in classes where they tried to tell you, or their guesstimate was, when that was going to happen during those 7 years. And we'll study that later on and stuff, but there's going to be two witnesses about halfway through. And one teacher or whatever I had, they believed that's when the church was going to be raptured. So it's, you know, in its opinion, because nobody knows the time or the day or the hour. Okay. We're going to have the, as my Bible puts it, the exaltation of the afflicted. This is 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has appointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our Lord, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins, and they will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolation of many generations. The strangers will stand and pasture your flocks, and foreigners will be your farmers and your vine dressers. You will be called the priests of the Lord. You will be spoken of as a minister of our God, and you will eat the wealth of nations, and your riches you will boast. Okay, let's just stop there. So this is the promise to Israel of what they are going to be. I should have written down these verses, but in here he says, they will rebuild the ancient ruins, and they will raise up the former devastations. Okay, I don't know how much you know about the geography around in Jerusalem, but where the temple needs to go, there's something already there. The Dome of the Rock And so that is going to be changed. Strangers will come in and be glad to be pastors of their flocks or help out any way they can. The foreigners will be farmers and your vine dressers. Notice this. But you will be called the priests of the Lord. You will be spoken of as ministers of our God. You will eat of the wealth of nations, riches you will boast. Okay. You will be called the priests. Remember when it was broken down and all the tribes and only the Levitical nation or part of it would be priests. But, and like I said, I'm sorry I didn't write these verses down. But in God's word, it says that he would make a great nation of Israel a nation of priests. That's kind of just, it had to be back when he was talking to, gosh, I don't know.
Probably Moses in Leviticus.
Yeah, but I'm thinking it was before that. I'm thinking it was not Jacob either. Anyway, he promised that, but it was like one little sentence in the Bible, one sentence that he promised that. And it never had turned out. They narrowed it down to, like I said, the Levitical nation was the nation going to be the priestly nation. They would be the ones that ministered all these things. Now, with Jesus sitting on the throne, this is going to change, and all of that was spoken back in the day will be coming true because you will be called the priests of the Lord. He didn't say just the Levitical priests, but all Israel.
I'm also thinking that Christ read this first verse.
Yeah, he did.
I think he read that, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere around Nazareth.
Yeah,
and then he sat down.
Yeah, it's in Luke.
Yeah.
And he stopped when he got so far because he had not fulfilled all of it.
Yes.
And he was about 13 years old at the time when he did that, so if I remember right. Okay, so they will be ministered to by other nations. Other people will come there to worship the Lord Jesus Christ sitting on the throne, and they will be happy to have jobs as farmers and sheep herders or whatever it may be. Instead of your shame, you will have a double portion. Instead of humiliation, they will shout for joy over your portion. Therefore they will possess a double portion in their land. Everlasting joy will be theirs, which is any Gentile that accepts the Lord Jesus Christ. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and the burnt offering, and I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Then their offspring will be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the people. All who see them will recognize them, because they are the offspring of whom the Lord has blessed. That I will rejoice greatly in the Lord, my soul will exalt in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me in a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with garland, as a bride adorns herself with jewels. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ in the church here. Also, for as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes the things sown in it to spring up, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. This cannot be any other time other than the millennium. It just cannot be, because it at least it hasn't been yet, so we know that it hadn't happened yet.
Yeah. Huh? Jesus quotes the words of 61:1-2 is in Mm-hmm.
And they were amazed at his knowledge. And
yeah. That's good.
So I don't, how can I say this? If you ever thought Isaiah was a book, and it is a book of prophecies, there is no if, ands, or buts about that, but it looked, at first sighting, it looks like a mishmash of things he's talking about, you know. Israel, because of your unfaithfulness, you're going to go into captivity, and these things are going to happen down the road. And think of the human side of that. They said, okay, Isaiah, you've said all this stuff. Ain't nothing happened. You know, yesterday was Saturday, just like every other week. You know, it's the same thing has happened over and over. So, you're tested. Do you keep the faith, in their case, in God? Or do you just say, he said a lot of things and all them ain't happened yet, and you know, they don't know that it's 150 years out before they go into captivity, but they are tested as we are tested to keep faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that he's coming back. We could have the same argument. Well, yesterday was Saturday, he didn't come back Saturday, so maybe he's not coming this week. Let's just have fun, do whatever we want.
We can say that nothing has happened. But if we were to go today and stand outside the Ben Gurion Airport, I wonder how many non-Jewish people are getting off an airplane with the express purpose of worshiping Christ in Israel today.
There's a lot.
Yes. Every one of them are non-Jews.
Yeah.
Every one of them. They're not there to buy baubles or clothing or anything. They're there to find a place to worship God.
Yeah.
And that's what he's talking about.
Yeah, there's a huge revival going on in Jerusalem.
Yeah. I think what he was talking about, you know, I think of Noah and how they mocked him and made fun of him. They was testing his faith. What it was, how many years was it? How many years were they building that ark?
Oh, the ark. Yeah, and something.
Yeah, and so they mocked Noah and made fun of him. They said, hey, you said this, you know,
100 years.
Yeah. You're building the weirdest looking house I ever seen.
But it happened on God's timetable. Yeah.
I got a thing this week from somebody or another, and it said the fact checkers were checking Noah all the way up to the time till they drowned. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this word. Father, we thank you that it's not an old thing that we can look at and say, oh, this is history. But Father, things we can look forward to, things you've promised, and things that we will claim. And Father, we ask you to hold us in your hand, keep our strength, and Father, we continue to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.